Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me on this very special episode is Canadian National Team Center, Kayla Alexander. Kayla, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for coming on. First off, how are you dealing with this ongoing COVID-19 pandemic?
I think okay for the most part. Just trying to stay busy, stay active the best way I can, and just keep a positive outlook for the most part. So. Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, trying to make it work, I guess. Mm-hmm. This is like the first time I've actually had to like put on like business clothes.
Oh.
Yeah, I've just been doing Zoom calls with just audio. Yeah. So, you know, as an athlete, like how does this sort of mess up, you know, your training regimen, everything like that? Like what can you do during a lockdown?
Yeah, training has definitely been a little bit more challenging. I think that's safe to say. Like, you can't actually like play basketball right now. So just to try and like stay busy or stay active and keep my heart rate up, I've been doing either the workouts that our strength coach sends us. I got lucky. My dad has some really old school equipment in our basement, so I've been able to use that, and I just put it in the garage for some like fresh air. And then if I'm not doing that, I'm thankful for the Nike app. Like, they have some really good workouts on there that, like, do, like, all body weight stuff, get you moving, get your heart rate up, get a good sweat. I'm just like, oh, okay, feel like I got a little work in. So I've been doing a mixture of that and also trying out yoga again. So I'll see how that continues to go. But, yeah, I've been just trying to stay active the best way I can. And then, obviously, can't play ball, but, like, can go in the basement and dribble a little bit. So, yeah, trying to make the most of it.
Okay, that doesn't sound that bad to me, honestly.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, you know, you were in Poland and you were trying to get back in this situation. Like, what was that experience like going through the airports, just, you know, even having to come back during this time?
Yeah. So when I was in Poland, I signed to join a team later in the season to just finish, to help them finish their season and then to play in playoffs. So while we were over there and all of this is like starting to unfold, first it was like, okay, they're going to switch up the playoffs, try to make it shorter. Like, they're going to switch up how they do it. And then we got the news about like the NBA, how some players tested positive for COVID-19. And then the next thing you know, they canceled the season.
Oh,
and then
wow.
So then we saw the NBA cancel. And then we saw other sports leagues follow suit. And then actually the Poland League was like, okay, yeah, we're done. We're just going to cancel the season. The team that I was playing with, they were undefeated in Polish League, so they just renamed the unanimous winners.
Okay.
So that was cool. And then after that, they're like, okay, when do you want to leave? We'll try and book your ticket. And I guess their agency was like overwhelmed with people trying to like book tickets. So they're like, mm-hmm. book your own tickets. We'll reimburse you later. So I was like, okay, just book my own ticket real quick. Got out pretty much like 2 days later. And then after that, going to the airport, it was fine for the most part. Obviously, like in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, let me like keep my distance from everybody as mm-hmm. much as possible. I bought like sanitizer wipes and like hand sandy, and I was doing that constantly, like trying to wash my hands a lot. And then, yeah, just trying to make the best of the situation. And then just hoping that I hope I don't have it or didn't catch anything while I was traveling and that I didn't bring anything back home or like. But yeah, just hoping for the best. But yeah, it was interesting. Thankfully, I had like pretty safe travels, smooth travels, no cancellations, which is nice. I'm just thankful to be back home now.
Yeah, that sounds like a scary process. So onto the news itself, it was announced last weekend that Canada will not be sending athletes to the Olympics and to the Paralympic Games at Tokyo 2020. And it seems like the event itself will be postponed probably until next year. How did you find out and what was your reaction to the announcement?
I had mixed emotions. So I actually found out someone texted me.
Okay.
So it's like, someone's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was like, what are you sorry about? And then they're like, the Olympics. And I was like, oh, great. So it's kind of crummy to hear that way. I kind of wish that all of us as athletes kind of could have had like a heads up first. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, I obviously stand with Canada and the decision that they made. I think it's a priority first for all of our health and safety. So I'm completely with them, and I'm glad that they kind of took the stance and like being the forefront of it and like having other nations follow suit. Part of me also felt like it was a little hasty, because like we don't, like they could have, I think they could have waited, or at least like maybe like a day or two, just let your athletes know or like see how it plays out. But I understand it. So now that that's the decision, I think that's taken a lot of pressure off a lot of athletes too, because it's been hard trying to figure out, okay, how do I keep myself in like top form and try and stay in shape and perform so I can perform at my best when I can't leave the house, so, or I don't have access to training facilities. So it was a mix of emotions, but I think overall it was the best decision. And I just hope that now people can just focus on staying healthy, doing their part, whether it's social distancing, staying at home, whatever the case may be, so we can move past this, flatten the curve, and get back to a life where sports is back. So,
yeah, seriously. What was the sentiment like among your Team Canada teammates? Like, did the group chat blow up or something when this all came out?
I don't want to speak for other people, because I want them to be able to share like their thoughts, but I know... for me, at least, I just felt a way that, one, we just need to get a heads up. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, for sure. Two, like, that the decision, like, don't get me wrong, I'm all about health and safety first. Like, that's always a priority, like, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to feel like you perform at your best mentally if you feel like you're in a safe environment. So that's not the issue. But I just felt like, one, like, we didn't get a heads up. And then, two, we didn't really have, like, a choice in the matter. It's kind of like the decision was made for us. Mm-hmm. So, but in the big grand scheme of life and things, there are other things that are like more important. I get that, but still, like as an athlete, this is like, for me anyways, would have been like my first Olympics, and I was super excited about it. And then just to have it be like, nope, we're not going. So originally when I first heard that Canada just took, like, they're just like, we're not going at all, I was like, oh, okay. Mm. It's like a dream just like ripped from you yet again. But then it looks like it's going to be postponed, which I'm thankful for. So, and I think that's the right call.
Yeah, for sure.
Health first.
For sure, for sure. The senior women's national team clinched the spot in the Olympics by going undefeated in Belgium. What were your hopes and goals heading into Tokyo 2020?
To get there again. So I'm just very thankful that we were able to qualify and that we played well together as a team. We had fun out there. We, like you said, we went undefeated. Mm-hmm. And then the goal has always been to get on the podium. I think that's one of our major goals for Tokyo 2021 now, is to hopefully earn our spot on a podium with a medal.
For you personally, though, why is it so important to you to represent Canada?
For me? There's a lot of reasons. Like, one, like being able to say that you represented your country, like that's such an honor. Mm-hmm. And that's like the highest level I think possible that you can like represent and like play at, like on the Olympic stage. You're playing against some of the best people in the world, best nations in the world, and to be able to have Canada on your chest and know that you're not only representing yourself but your teammates, your coaching staff, and the whole nation, I think that's such an incredible honor. So for me, that's something I've been dreaming about for a very long time. And then with that dream, I've been wanting to do that for so long, and then just finally being able to finally achieve that, or get to the point where it was a possibility. Mm-hmm. I think it's just an incredible honor. So it's just something that I'll never take for granted and always appreciate. So.
Right, for sure. And this is not a trap question, but I feel like I wanted to ask this, because do you feel some type of way when you see the vast difference in participation between the women's program and the men's program in Canada?
I have my thoughts, but as women, we can speak for ourselves. And like, I know for me, I think it's an honor to, mm-hmm. like, I know how hard it is to make the national team, because I've been cut from the team before. So I know how hard it is to get a spot on this team and to earn a spot to be with these talented players, to learn from incredible coaching staff. So to me, I'll always see it as like an honor and a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I know on the men's side, I'm sure there's like many different factors that play into it. Like, they have their NBA seasons, they go along, especially for the playoffs. And then I can't speak for them. Yeah, right. I can't speak for them, but I'm hoping that it'll get to the point where we'll have more guys coming out and representing the country. And I think we should appreciate the guys who do show up every year.
Definitely.
Like, we can't take away from them. Like, they're showing up every year, every summer, when they have breaks so that they can go out and compete for their country and play hard for Canada, because they're clearly passionate about it and they care and they want to help Canada do well. So I think we should focus on the guys who do show up, not so much on the ones that don't.
Yeah, that's a really great point. You know, there's a lot made about this sort of being a golden generation of basketball on the men's side, but do you think it can be said, the same can be said about the women's side as well, in Canada with Kia, Neo, Natalie, yourself and others, you know, in the spotlight right now?
Oh yeah. I think it's undeniable, the talent, especially with like Kia, Natalie, Nia, like you said, like we have so many talented players and even like young girls who are coming up on the rise, like just even seeing like, Aaliyah, how she was competing with the national team as well, playing at the senior level. There are so many girls, and I just feel like this is such a great time, I guess, for women's basketball. Also, I think we are where we are today because of those who did the groundwork. So the woman that came before us, who put in the work, who helped to put Canada on the map, I think we aren't where we are today without them and without the coaching staff who developed young players and put organizations in position so that they could develop players to be to where we are today. So I think it's a mixture of different things, but I think it's a great time for sure. And also, especially like you hear about it with the men too, like we're getting more and more men's players in the NBA, same with us in the WNBA. So it's exciting times. I'm hoping that this is just the beginning. It keeps building and we get more and more players.
Yeah, no, for sure. It definitely feels like Canada basketball is on the rise and has been for quite a while.
Yeah.
So, on you, for you personally, so you grew up in Milton. When did you get serious about basketball and making it into your career and stuff like that?
So my life's a little weird. I grew up in Scarborough until like the fifth grade.
Oh, okay.
And then my family moved to Barrie, and I was there until grade 10. And in Barrie, that's where I actually started playing basketball.
Okay.
And then after grade 10, then we moved to Milton, and my family's been here since. But like how I got into it, So I was always pretty tall for my age as a kid. I'm 6'4" now. But in grade 6, I was about like 5'8", 5'9". And then in grade 7, I had this friend, her name was Nicole Murphy. She came up to me in class one day and she's like, "You're tall, you should come to trial with me." And I was like, "Okay, why not?"
Yeah,
so sure. Yeah, I was like, "What the heck?" Not for trying anything almost once. So we go and I was terrible. Like it was so bad. I'm so thankful like video cameras weren't as popular back then, because if there was a footage, I'm sure we'd all be having a good laugh right now. So I got into it, started playing. I wasn't very good. The coach, Winnie Kovacs and Keith Macy, they were my first coaches and they were honest. They're like, "We can't teach height, but we can teach you how to play basketball." So they took a chance on me. They developed me and I realized, oh, I actually enjoy playing this game. I'm not terrible at it once I got developed some skill. And I just haven't stopped playing since. And I'm still in contact with my coaches, and I still am really good friends with Nicole to this day. So
that's
pretty much how I got started. Yeah, I'm thankful that I kind of like fell into it, like, and developed a love for it versus being forced into it because, like, by my parents or anybody being like, "You're tall, you have to play." I was allowed to discover it for myself, so I'm just thankful for that.
Right. You know, in your opinion, like, how does the development system here in Canada compare to like the States? Are there sort of the same resources or comparable opportunities made available to athletes?
I didn't grow up in the States, so I can't really speak on that. I know that they have like, you can have high school. I'm pretty sure they have a lot of AAU as well. Just like we do here. We have, you can play high school ball. You can play rep ball. I think they have like different leagues now. They call it like Jewel and different things.
Okay.
And then also growing up too, we had different programs like the CP, Centers for Performance through Canada Basketball. There's always camps you could go to. So I feel like they're pretty comparable with respect to like the opportunities. Like if you want to develop your game and learn, there are places that you can go to get that help and to develop. So, and there's more prep schools I've noticed now in Canada too. So I think the opportunities are there if you want to improve and work on your game.
Right. And I think, honestly, that probably leads to, like, you know, the explosion of talent that we see right now. Is that, like, the infrastructure is now here, too.
Yes.
So you don't always have to necessarily go to the States, which is nice. So you go from, you know, you go from, you know, Canada, you go not very far, you get to Syracuse.
Yeah.
So what's the connection between Syracuse and Canadian talent? It feels like, you know, Syracuse has always had kind of that pipeline there, you know, with you, you know, you look at Tyler Ennis or O'Shea Brissett.
Yeah, Chris Joseph.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few of us have gone there. I don't know. When I was getting recruited, I had a really good relationship with the coaches at the time when okay. I was talking with them. I got a good feel. Ironically, I wanted to go to, so it was between Syracuse and Illinois,
okay.
my final schools, and they're both orange schools for some reason. And when I went to Illinois, I went on the campus and I was ready to commit. And my dad was like, no, you have to go to Syracuse first and see, and then you think about it, and then you can commit where you want to go. And I went to Syracuse and just had a good feeling, and I ended up committing there, and I'm thankful for it. I had a good 4 years. It is kind of close, which I appreciate. It was 4 hours, depending on the weather. So, like, close enough that my parents would come to, like, the game and then head back home, but far enough that I had my independence, which I was right. thankful for.
That's perfect.
Yeah, and it was a good school academically as well. They had a really good basketball program, and they've been doing well ever since. So it was a nice mixture of athletics, academics. Yeah, so I'm thankful for it.
Yeah. I mean, you said you had a good 4 years, you know.
Yeah.
I would have changed it. You're the all-time leading scorer at Syracuse.
I'm waiting. Someone will come break that soon. I have no doubt about that. Someone okay. can break that.
Well, listen, in the meantime, you know, you can't just let that slide. That's a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, well, you don't get there unless you have, like, great coaches, amazing teammates, too. So, like, right. teammates got to pass the ball. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So you got drafted WNBA, you know, you're on your seventh season now, I believe. You played in San Antonio, Indiana, Chicago. You've also played overseas, all different kinds of places. Like, you know, just what's some of your favorite memories of playing overseas? And what's the difference, like, between the games overseas and leagues overseas versus WNBA?
Let's see. As far as favorites, so one of my dream jobs for me, I always want to eventually one day make it, like, play in France. I don't know why, but since I was a kid, I've been obsessed with, like, the language, the culture.
Okay.
So when I finally got to play in France, I, like, loved it. Mm. On my off days, I would take a train and go to Paris and just walk the streets. Whenever we travel to other teams to play, I'd always take that time before we left or in the mornings to just explore that city that we were in. My teammates were so great. They helped me work on my French. Mm-hmm. So I loved it, and then also that was my first time playing for a Euro League team, so okay. they played in, like, French League, so you play, like, other French teams, and if you play in Euro League, you get to play against other teams from other countries. So I love that because it's, like, more travel. I get to see more parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And another favorite experience for me was playing in Australia.
Cool.
Not this winter, last winter. I loved it. It was the first time, aside from, like, being overseas, where I could actually communicate with my teammates consistently because okay. we all spoke English. So that was awesome. Right. And we ended up going to the finals and playing Kia in the finals, and Kia's team won. But it was such a cool experience there, too, because I got to just see a different part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the natural beauty there is unbelievable. And then the people were so nice, too. But as far as, like, playing overseas, I love it because, one, you get to travel. You get to experience a different part of the world that you never experienced before. New cultures, new people, different languages, the food.
Mm-hmm.
I love to travel, so I love that aspect of it. And then overseas, you get to play against other players, too. Like, there's so... It's amazing how many talented players there are in the world. Like, not mm-hmm. just in, like, the WNBA, but, like, across the board. Like, in different countries, there's so many talented players. And then I realized, like, oh, they play for this national team. Like, so it's just cool to experience that. And then also, it's a longer season, depending on where you go. So you have, like, more time to play and, like, develop that relationship with your teammates. And, yeah, just a really cool experience. I'm just very thankful for it. And then playing overseas also makes you realize how good you have it at home at times, too, or makes you appreciate different things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know for me, when I was playing overseas, like, in Europe, it made me appreciate that lifestyle over there, because I feel like sometimes they just take time to, like, just slow down and just appreciate, like, what you have. It's not always about, like, your possessions, materialistic things, and, like, mm-hmm. the go pace that we have here in North America. They actually, like, slow down. Like, okay, we're gonna eat for, like, 2 hours now. We're just gonna talk to each other and, like, check in. How's everybody doing? They have an appreciation for, like, the simple things, I think. So that's a give and take. You appreciate certain things you have at home and certain things that they have over there, and you just try to make the best of it. So, yeah, I love it, though.
That sounds amazing. Like, I was looking up your Wikipedia page and stuff, like, the amount of places you've been, and I'm like, oh, I would love to be there, or I'd love to be there and stuff. So that's super cool. But you know, one question I've always had is like, why do so many WNBA players play overseas in addition to here in North America? Like, for example, you rarely see NBA players doing that.
Well, I can't speak for everybody, but I know for me and for others that I do know, one, it's a way to supplement your income. Okay. So for the WNBA, until they signed this new CBA agreement, the wages were like a certain amount, and it was only for like 5 months. So for a lot of us, you can actually make way more money if you went overseas to play. So like your salary could increase. So that was like a way to supplement your income. Two, it's another way to work on your game. You can go overseas, play against different players, different styles. It's an opportunity to work on your game, develop your game. I know coming out of college, going to W, I had a lot of learning I needed to do. Like there's a learning curve that I had to get. So going overseas helped me to like get that game, the speed of the game, not so much like the running up and down, but like just the reaction time and like reading the game quicker, things like that, just certain things that I wasn't doing in college. So that was a great opportunity too, because it helped me to grow and develop my game. And then also for me, I just enjoy it. Like I really love going overseas and playing. I love the travel aspect, meeting new people, having friends all over the world. So I think it's a mixture of all those different things. But I know for a lot of them, it's just to supplement your income, because you can make more overseas.
Right. I was like, I remember reading a couple years ago, this is the first time I thought of this question, was like, I remember Diana Taurasi used to play, and I was like, if we're talking about like one of the GOATs of all time, you know, is going to play overseas, like there must be a good reason for it, you know, like.
Oh yeah, she was making bank in Russia, so.
So, you know, moving back to you, in addition to being internationally known as, you know, accomplished basketball player, you're also a published author and illustrator with your debut book, The Magic of Basketball. Can you tell me what the book is about and who it's for?
Yay. I'm glad you know about it. So I wrote it with my sister. I kind of forced her to help me with it because I like being creative and thinking about ideas and writing, but God like gifted her with like the ability to like put words together and just the way her brain works. I didn't get that. So I was like, I'm going to use your gift and help me, please. So like we worked together on it. Cool. And it's basically follows this young girl with her journey with the game of basketball, how she started playing it and all these little gifts that basketball gives her along the way as she continues in the journey of playing. So like one gift might be like the gift of friendship, then the gift of hard work, perseverance, education, travel, all these different things. And it pretty much is like a skim of my life and my experience playing the game of basketball and all the gifts it gave me along the way. And I wrote it for young kids just to show them like what a blessing and the cool opportunities that you have with playing sports in general, not just specifically basketball, but sports in general, like all the different life skills it can teach you and cool opportunities can provide you if you play it. And not to say that they have to go and like make sure they go play college or play pro. Even if you play it for fun, you're still learning things along the way. Like as a kid, like you're learning about teamwork, how to work through trials and hard times, how to work together, how to be confident, just things like that. So that's why I wrote it. And also I love to draw and I love art. Before basketball ever entered the picture, I was like, I called myself an artist. I love to draw and illustrate. So it was like a cool way for me to use all these different gifts and things that I enjoy and like put it together as one thing, which is a children's book.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like what inspired you like to you know, make this book, to illustrate, like have you, and why a children's book in particular?
I really enjoy working with kids. So when I went to Syracuse, my degree was in education. Oh, cool. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. I loved working with kids. Just really want to inspire them and try to, with, I've learned like through sports, you have somewhat of a little bit of a platform that you can use too. And I want to use it just to inspire kids and to show them like, if you dream big and believe in yourself and what you can do, like the sky is not the limit. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to pour that into other kids. So I felt like this book allowed me to do all those things. And because I can't reach every kid like by myself, a book is like a perfect way to like just share a little bit of my story and try to inspire them, encourage them, since I can't reach everybody. And in the book too, I also have in the back like these pages for kids to write on. One of them says like to write down all your dreams, because I want kids to like dream big, because my parents allowed me to do that, which I'm thankful for. So I encourage them to do that. And then there's another page for like goals. So how do you make your dreams a reality? You write down goals. Like, okay, if I want to be, I don't know, let's say I want to be a writer. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to spend like maybe 30 minutes every day, like just writing out like a cool idea, or like working my writing skills, or reading a book to get like an idea of like how writing should be. Like, just wanted to encourage kids, like, dream big and then also put in the work to make those dreams a reality.
Yeah, it's always super cool, like, when you're in growing up and you look back at some of the stuff that your parents kept and, you know, just, yeah, it's just, that's really cool. That is really cool. So where can people find the book?
So if you're Canadian, you can buy it through my website, KaylaAlexander.net. And then whether you're Canadian or not, or if you're not Canadian or if you are, you can also go to Amazon. It's on Amazon worldwide. So any of those two ways, it's available.
Okay, that's really cool. I also saw on your Instagram that you were in Senegal recently as part of Right to Play and the Seed Project. First off, just tell me a little bit about those two organizations and what was that experience like for you?
Okay, so it kind of happened kind of quickly. Mm-hmm. So when I was going, when we were leaving for Belgium for the Olympic qualifiers, I was asked, and I was actually asked before that actually, because I was injured at the time and I was still trying to like recover to get back. And they're like, "Oh, you're around. Would you be interested?" And I was like, basically all they told me was they're going to do like a clinic or camp with kids. And I was like, sold, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, "And it's going to be in Senegal." And I was like, double sold, never been there before. So I was just looking forward to that opportunity just to pour into kids. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards on the flight to Senegal, I was told like the actual breakdown. That's when I found out that the prime minister was going to be there. And I found out about like Right to Play and visiting the seed organizations. I didn't know all this until like I got on the plane. I was like, oh, so there's like an agenda to all this, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much how I found out about it. And then when we were over there, first we visited the Seed Project. They have 20 girls and 20 boys. It's equal, which I appreciate. And they just teach them basketball skills and also life skills as well, and help them with like their education. And one of the girls that actually spoke was a young girl. I think she was like 17 or 18 years old. And she gave a speech completely in English because they speak French there. And it just shows like the development of like through when you have the right tools around you through basketball and the life skill training and the education, like what is the result. And mm-hmm. you see a young girl who learned English, is confident, is giving out the speech that she memorized in front of people she doesn't know. So just shows like the power of sports. And then, so we went there, we did like a little clinic, taught them some life skills and basketball drills. And then the next day was the Right to Play, where we put on another mini clinic, and they were also signing this agreement because Senegal will be hosting the Youth Olympic Games in 2022, I believe. So got to meet some of the members of the national team, just play some 3-on-3. Basically, I had to give this speech in French about like why I think it's important for young girls to get in sports and stay in sports, which mm-hmm. is something I'm a big advocate for. But it was just a really surreal, cool experience. It was awesome in the sense that I love that through sports, it brought all of us together, no matter what language we were speaking, where in the world we were. We all came together with the orange bouncy ball to play, learn life skills, and to empower. So it was an incredible experience. And I'm just very thankful that I was asked to be a part of it. And I met some incredible people while I was there.
Yeah, that's super cool. What was Dakar like?
It was pretty cool. So where we were staying was like along the water. So that was pretty amazing. And then how do I describe it? I love, like, it was busy. Like, there's always something going on. So when I first got there, we're on the highway, and it was weird because you just had like people who were walking, like trying to sell you stuff on the highway. You're going slow because of traffic. So that was a little different because I hadn't experienced that before. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, I'm just very thankful. I need to go back. It was so short. And then finally, I got to visit Goree Island while I was there too. And that was a very sombering but incredible experience as well, because it was like that had to do with like the slave trade and all that. So sad when you hear the history, but just also just shows you how resilient like the people of Africa are and how they overcame. And yeah, so just really incredible experience for sure. Memorable.
Right, for sure. And then lastly, where were you when the Raptors brought the championship home to Canada, and what are some of your favorite memories from that time?
Okay, so when they won it, I was actually in Belgium with the national team. We were competing like exhibition games in preparation for qualifying for Tokyo. And then obviously no one can forget the shot. Like, that was just crazy. And then my sister and I were lucky, we didn't get to watch any of it live during like the last stretch, but We got to go when they were playing the Sixers.
Okay.
In Toronto, we got to experience the game and see them play. Unfortunately, they lost when we went, but we still got to go and experience part of the playoff run.
So. Game two?
I think. All I know is that it was up in Toronto, and it was close, but they lost.
Right.
I was like, oh. But they ended up winning the whole thing, so that's okay.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Where were you when they won?
I was covering all the games. So I was at like every single game of the playoff run, which
nice.
I feel super like blessed to have been able to do that. Cause I've been, you know, I'm like a journalist, quote unquote, but like, you know, definitely been like a huge fan of the Raptors all my life. So to like actually have been there for all of it was just incredible. But yeah, like most of it was working. Yeah.
When you say all of them, forgive my ignorance, just the Toronto games, did you get to travel to like every away game?
Oh, I got to travel. Yeah. It was
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was my first year doing like this job covering like the Raptors for Yahoo Sports Canada. So it was like great. I joined in March, and they were like, "Yeah, you're gonna go to the playoffs." I was like, "Great!" And then they're like, "You're going to every single game." So it was, yeah, it worked out great.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's not a bad gig at all.
No. Yeah. So it was it was definitely like an amazing time. Honestly, the vibe around the entire summer was just really nice. You know, just like kind of like pride and yeah, it was a good feeling, you know. All right, so I think that does it for our interview here. Thank you so much to Kayla for joining me on the podcast. Please cheer her on at every single stop, but especially for Team Canada. And go buy her book, The Magic of Basketball. Kayla, please stay safe during this time, and best of luck to you in the future.
I appreciate it so much. Thanks for having me. You stay safe as well, too. Stay healthy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.